All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, presented by The Nation Network. Subscribe for free on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Oilers Nation Radio, episode 127. I am Bagged Milk here with Tyler Yaremchuk, Nation Dan, and Rick. We are going to break down all things Edmonton Oilers in the next hour of your life. We are recording on a beautiful Friday afternoon here on March 5th. And first, I want to start by thanking our friends at Sherwood Ford the Giant out in Sherwood Park, Alberta. Spring is in the air. That means it is time to get your vehicle ready for another season on the roads, whether that's an oil change, maybe some tires, maybe just a new whip entirely. Head on out to Sherwood Park, Alberta. Go see our friends at Sherwood Ford. You might even see Gus. He's the ambassador of smiles. He is very handsome. Make an appointment. He's got things to do. Sherwood Ford on Twitter is at Sherwood Ford, and on Instagram is Sherwood Ford _ the Giant. Again, Sherwood Ford, I know you guys are listening to this. Drew, Broncos. Four Broncos. That's all. That's all. Tyler, what's our Sherwood Ford Giant question of the day today?
Our Sherwood Ford Giant question of the day. The Oilers, in case you haven't heard, are coming off a rough stretch of hockey against the Toronto Maple Leafs. But they kind of have a chance to throw it right in the rearview mirror with a good performance against Calgary on Saturday. So my question is, what is the most important part of their game that they need to turn around in tomorrow night's matchup against the Flames?
I'm going to start with a very passionate looking Nation Dan. He is staring deeply into the camera. I know he's got ideas and things that he wants to do as we approach this Battle of Alberta. Dan, what do the Oilers need to do? How are we going to turn this around?
Score four goals in the first period. Mm-hmm. Just put to bed all this talk about the offense and the struggles that they've had. I think, you know, you want two of those goals to be from the top two lines too, just to have that swagger come back for those guys. But for me, it's score the goals and shut up the doubters and the haters.
Rick, what do you think? What the boys need to do?
I think that's too easy. I think we've seen them play offensively well before, and that really not matter too much to me. It's the battle level. It's the individual battles along the boards, anywhere on the ice. They need to come back and start winning those. Everybody knows we're offensive. We came out and lit up No Save Dave or whoever's in net for a bunch of goals. Big whoop. They're still going to call us out on, you know, getting beat up by a third line from Toronto. We need to come out and win the little battles. You start doing that, you start showing everybody that we do care, that each individual player on the ice absolutely hates what happened the last three games, and they're not going to put up with it, and we're going to come back with the proper foot forward. So let's go out and win each individual battle.
Tyler, you were at the game. You are seeing things from the press box. Mm-hmm. What do the Oilers need to do to get back in the win column against the Flames?
I'm going to say, like, there's a handful of stuff they need to do, obviously. For me, the most important, I'm going right to the top. Production from the big guns. They need Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl to find their games at 5-on-5 and produce some offense on Saturday night. That's the, like, we can talk about how important goaltending and depth scoring and the defense is, but you can't argue against the fact that the most important element to this team is their high-end scoring. And when that's rolling, man, they're tough to stop. I'm saying the high-end scoring, McDavid and Draisaitl, need to get going Saturday against Calgary.
Wrapping us up, I personally think that the boys need to tighten up their details with the puck. When they were winning, I felt they were playing a much simpler game, a little bit more north-south, getting a lot of shots on net. But when they're struggling, I find that the Oilers, they tend to try and force more difficult plays through. And when you're skilled and you've got the skill of the guys like Draisaitl and McDavid and Nugent Hopkins and Yamamoto, you know, you can make those things happen from time to time when you're rolling and playing well. But when you're not, it just doesn't seem to click as well. And I think for the Oilers against the Flames, who, by the way, are starting to score themselves here over their last six games. The Flames are 3-2-1 over their last six. Basically put up a third of their offense over those last three games as well. So I think they need to tighten up. I think they need to tighten up in all three zones, make simpler plays, simpler passes, more shots on goal. And let's get fucking greasy out there, boys. Everybody needs to take a page out of Jesse Puljujarvi's book. Park yourselves in front of the net and look to work to knock home some garbage if it's there, because I don't think the Oilers did a very good job in that series against the Leafs of trying to cause some mayhem and some second chances in front of the net. Anybody disagree?
No, I think a big part of it, like we touched on this on Nation Real Life Bagged Milk, but you want to look at that series and there's a part of me that's like, it's fucking bullshit that they had two games where they didn't get a single power play. Like, that pissed me off a little bit, if I'm being honest. I didn't think the Leafs played that clean of hockey. But when you get blown out like that, you look at the lack of power plays, and the other part of me goes, you know what? If the Oilers would have been creating more dangerous chances, going to the tough areas a little bit more, messing things up in front of the net, creating those A-plus looks, they might have forced the Leafs to take a few more penalties. So I absolutely agree with you, Bag Milk. They need to start doing a better job of getting to the dirty areas here against Calgary. And you know what? In a battle of Alberta, after you just got spanked three games in a row, there's no excuse to not come out determined and a little pissed off.
Well, I think that, you know, in those three games against the Leafs, I thought the Oilers started those games well. They got some shots on net, producing a couple of chances every now and then, but they couldn't cash anything in. However, when the Leafs came down and got something to work on their side, it just seemed like the Oilers got deflated a little bit. And in the second game, I personally think that they needed a save in that first period. Not going to hang it on the goaltenders. This is a team game. We're not talking about golf here. But I do think that if they can tighten it up, play a little bit simpler, and Mike Smith, who I would guess gets the start tomorrow, if he can give them the foundation they need, then they're going to be okay. I don't think the Leafs played well enough to be – I don't think the Leafs played like world beaters in that series. I don't think they were as good as the Oilers were bad, to put it that way. So
yeah.
Anybody worried about it? Teams lose three games in a row all the time.
Well, and
I was just going to say, I think it just, the only reason it sucks more than anything is that you lost to the same team three times. That's where it's frustrating for me. Like, if we had lost a stretch of games against the Dallas Stars, the Nashville Predators, and the Florida Panthers, like, it would be frustrating, but we wouldn't be looking at it like the sky is falling. I just, you know, every one of these games, it just kind of sloughs off my back, because you're right, Bag Milk. I think that the Oilers were bad. The Leafs were still, you know, the Leafs were the best team in the North, but I don't think that that's unachievable by this Oilers team. And I haven't felt that way up until this series. So for me, yeah, three games doesn't change anything.
I just think that, like, yeah, it's easy to say how good the Leafs are, and they are. Don't get me wrong. They're a good team. They're a very, very good hockey team. But I also don't think they're invincible either. But when the Oilers are playing with, they looked like they had a lack of confidence over those three games, which is interesting because they had all the confidence in the world about a week ago. It was just interesting to watch, you know. It was interesting to see that everything during their winning streak ended up in the back of the net for the opposing back of the net. Whereas this week, the Leafs were getting saves. Seemed like the boys were getting a little bit frustrated, and then the snowball started to roll, and it compounded from there, didn't it?
See, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit on the Leafs thing. Like, I think that's a team who should absolutely be in the conversation to be a cup contender. And I think they played some great hockey. Like, I was listening to Darren Dreger, and he talked about how that's the best he's seen that Leafs team play all year. So there's a part of me that goes, you know, you're playing against such a high caliber team, and I had optimism that the Oilers would be able to keep it a little bit closer than they did. But I think you were playing against one of the best teams in the league. That team was playing some great hockey. And it just sucks that you had to play them three times in a row. Because in a normal year, if you ran into a Washington or a Pittsburgh or a Toronto when they're playing their best, you get them once. If they beat you, you go, one bad game. And then hopefully in one of the next two games, you get an Ottawa or a whoever to try bounce back against. They didn't get that option, right? You had to go up against Toronto three times in a row. And I just think it was a combination of catching them at a bad time and catching the Leafs at a point where they were, you know, rolling the way they are.
I guarantee you guys in the dressing room, the Leafs sat there and said, you know what? We have three in a row coming up against Connor and Leon and the Oilers. We need to, like, this is our goal. This is our goal. We need to come out and sweep these guys. We need to play an all round focused game, which they did. They were able to, you know, they played a very solid 60 minute four line type of game. And then you see what happened last night. I think they're going to be, if they went on and lost two more, I wouldn't be surprised. They put that much effort into going out to beat us that we didn't, and we weren't able to match that. But I almost guarantee you, they specifically came out and said, you know what, we're going to prove to these guys that we're the better team. We're the veterans. We're not going to let them do this. And, well,
I'm with you guys. First of all, I don't think that the Leafs shouldn't be considered in the top tier of teams in the NHL. I think they absolutely are there. I don't think they played so well that they're unbeatable. Yeah. I thought the Oilers were more so bad than the Leafs were good. I mean, sometimes you have to just Jack Campbell, Hutchinson, sometimes you just have to tip your cap to a goalie, you know? Because like in that first game specifically, it would not have been surprising at all had the Oilers cashed in one or two of those great chances they had in the first period that we would be talking about a completely different game entirely. Sometimes you got to tip your cap.
That's just it too, though. We aren't getting those saves. Yes. We haven't gotten those saves or those games the way other teams do for some time now.
Yeah, I'd say not consistently, but we have been getting the saves. Like, we have. Smith and Koskinen have both had multiple games where they've stood on their heads at points for us when we should have been, by all rights, out of the game.
I'm not saying
that it's the Toronto, but you can't say that the goaltending has been, like, our Beg Milk says it on every podcast, our breakaways per 60 is obnoxious. It's stupid.
Okay, but you're giving up
those chances. But like for me, it's like, sorry, I'll let you talk. I just, like, for me, it's like Smith and Koskinen both have come in relief, and we've almost won games with them in relief. They've given us a chance to win games in relief. They've both had games where they've been otherworldly. Smith has come in and been otherworldly. So for me, it's like, I don't know. I just, you know, yes, consistently, sure. But not all the time. It's not an issue.
I'm not saying there are any bad goals or any specific bad goal, but eventually you just need them to make a save. And that's just what it is.
Yeah.
When it comes to the goaltender at the other end of the ice, they just made a save, you know?
Yeah.
We had a whole bunch of opportunities that could have gone in. They go in against us. They don't necessarily go in against all other goals. And yes, when those two are at the top of their game, they are very, very good. The issue is that the majority of their game is played, you know, between a level of 6 and 8 or whatever the hell. And that is when they have an issue. When they're top of the top, you're right. We can handle a 44 shot game and 2-3 goals maybe. But when they're not playing that top level, that's when we get in trouble. And it's not necessarily a bad goal. It's not like a bad goal. Like when the Smith led that one against the post there a couple games ago, it's just, you sit there and go, okay, it's 6-3. Afterwards, you go, okay, well, one of these pucks can't go in. Yes, he's going to make a good save. It's not a bad goal per se, but in hindsight, they need to just make the save.
Where I agree with you, Rick, is just before you go, Dan.
Here, go ahead.
As an example, a perfect example to me would be on Saturday's game, or no, sorry, Monday's game. Monday's game when Mikko was in that. And the Oilers were down by a goal, but they were starting to fight back. They were getting some shots on Hutchinson. They were getting some looks. And then that's when Nylander scored that backhanded goal that just can't go in. It can't go in. Yeah. And then just to me, that's where I saw the bench just get deflated a little bit. That's where I saw the air come out of the sails. And it's just, correct me if I'm wrong, Rick, but like, I think those are the ones we need. We need with that Nylander one can't go in.
You know what? I feel like this year we have not had a lot of those Nylander type goals. We have not had the ones where you're like, dude, you gotta save that. But at the end of the game, you sit back, you turn around and look at it in hindsight and go, well, fuck, we needed another save or two. And there's not one particular spot. And, you know, maybe every goal out there was a decent chance because of a breakdown from here, there, or everywhere. But one of those needs to be saved.
Tyler wants us to get into the next thing. I just want to say, like, I think that you guys are being more sane about it. I think that there's a lot of Oiler fans that have just been begging for this all year, and they don't look at the positives for me. And that's been my frustration. We can talk about it afterwards.
You know who would have a good take on this is it's former NHLer Jason Strudwick. Yeah. He would have a good take on this. Jason Strudwick is brought to you by Vision VR Hockey Training. Train your hockey brain to see the plays to make with off-ice reps on their virtual reality training system located in St. Albert. Here's where you can check them out. VisionVRHockey.com is where you can book your session, and the man joins us now. Strutty, how's it going?
Good. Can you guys hear me?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, yeah, good. I don't know. My internet just went down at home. I've never had this happen before, so I had to use my phone. And it's actually quite a flattering picture. I'd say it's not bad.
You look good, looks real nice. Nice cropping going on here.
Nice art back there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a couple extra hours the last year, right? So, my kids.
We're talking about the Leaf series, obviously a disaster for the Oilers. We were just having a discussion right before you came on about goaltending, specifically with the Oilers. I feel like I'm not going to hang that series loss on the two goaltenders, but there were times I think over those three games where, man, it would have been nice for the Oilers to get a save.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty mature way of looking at it. I think like the overall thing that I see from the Oilers, I go back to that game against the Vancouver Canucks. I thought that was the first sign of them starting to have trouble. The first two periods against Canucks were really weak, you know, trading chances, and that's okay to do against Canucks, you know, a team that's been struggling a little bit or maybe not lived up to what people thought. And then they turned it on the third, they win. And then you go into that game Saturday, they struggle. They really look poor, and then same thing to it. They're in a down trough of their play right now. And it goes, you know, the season's up and down. But there are some times where a save would have been made. And the one I'll go for sure is where Nylander beat, you know, Bouchard to the middle and does a backhand from, you know, call it the high slot. I think that's being pretty generous. Backhand from there, you got to knock that down. You got to catch that, you know. You know, the backhanders, I know I get they're unpredictable and all that, but you got to save it. So I think you could lump the Oilers goaltenders into the play of the whole team. Was it awful? No, it wasn't great. It was kind of, you know, mediocre, and against a good team that's playing pretty well, mediocre isn't good enough. You know, and the Oilers, I thought afterwards, you know, Drysdale talked about it, how they didn't win enough battles. You know, you got hockey, we can talk about, you know, power play, penalty kill, you know, transitioning, D-zone, all that stuff. But if you don't have the, you know, the ability or the desire to win one-on-one battles, the rest of it doesn't really matter. You know, from face-offs to board battles in front of the net, you know, not getting beat back on the back check, all those things. So, you know, it's just that point of the year. This doesn't mean the Oilers suck. And it doesn't mean the Vancouver Canucks are great because they beat Toronto last night.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And our Sherwood Ford Giant question today, Strutty, is kind of taking those three games against Toronto and then looking ahead to the game against Calgary. What's the most important part of the Oilers game to get figured out for that game tomorrow against Calgary?
Well, I think I'll just go back to what I said. I mean, they've got to win battles. You know, you got to get out there and you've got to win more than you lose. Like, let's just think of some of the goals from that. Like when Caleb Jones goes on the ice and slides on his tummy. And you know, tries to stick check or try to block the puck. Like, I get it. You want to do more, but if you just lost that battle. You know, you're now down, so it doesn't work that way. You know, something like the John Tavares just annihilated the Oilers on faceoff. And I realize these are very specific issues, but there is more. We can go through, you know, shift by shift and find it. So get back to being at least 50-50 in those battles. Like, think of Yamamoto, you know, and I've been a big fan. How many times?
Oh, Strutty's internet's crapping out on him. Strutty, your internet, Strutty. It's not going to be muted.
It's his data.
Strutty, you're muted. Oh, there you go. There you go. You're good. What was that about Yamamoto, yeah. Strutty?
Yeah, well, I'm a big fan of Yamamoto. I think with Yamamoto, you know, he's a guy who needs to win battles to be effective. When you're playing with Leon Draisaitl, you've got to win battles. And I thought that, you know, in the last while, he's kind of come down a bit with his ability or inability to win those battles. Now, again, just like a team, the player's energy, it goes up and down. You know, there are times where you are just whipping around and feeling good, and some times where your legs just aren't there. So I think if they can kind of get that, just winning that, I know it's pretty generic, but that's the floor. That's where you start, and then you build off of that.
If you were to guess, Strads, after a series like that against the Leafs, did not go well. I can't imagine the boys are very happy about it. What do you think's going on in the room right now? Are they having internal discussions, or is there anything to be said? Do they just have to go out and get to work?
I think someone has to say something. I'm glad they're pissed off. You know, they should be pissed off. You know, the whole country is watching, the whole NHL is watching, and they were unable to rise up to the occasion against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And, you know, all that 11-2, people just forgot it like that. It's done. People forgot about it. So now you got to have it dialed in. You got to, I think there should be conversations, and there should be some not anger, but some intensity, you know, at practice and then carried into your game, because you should be playing with a bit of a chip on your shoulder because you laid an egg on the biggest stage. And when it was your time to shine, just imagine if they would won two of those three games, what people have been saying about the Oilers, as opposed to what is being said now. You know, and then the Leafs fans are loving it. Oh, we got this thing in the bag, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, whatever. Like, they're so that's the difference. That's how quickly you can go from 11-2 to 0-3. And now you're being questioned by the media and the fans. But the Oilers are going to be fine. I think they're a playoff team. You know, they're going to find their way to get back on to better games. But they should be edgy. Like, it should be edgy in that dressing room. No one should be feeling good about themselves.
We just watched a series against the Leafs. Do you think that this Oilers team can beat the Leafs in a 7-game series in the playoffs? Or is this, you know, is this just kind of our fate that once we come up against a team like the Leafs, we're going to be in tough?
Well, go back to the game they won 2-0 against the Leafs. The Leafs did to the Oilers these last three games, what the Oilers did to the Leafs in that 2-0 win. So they can do it, you know, but you've got to be your best. You know, I don't know if the Toronto, are they Stanley Cup contenders? They look pretty good. It's hard to judge when you're against other guys or you're not playing against other teams. But the Oilers just – the Leafs give that – they did the same thing the Oilers did to them. And the Oilers have to play. They can't – you know, you have to be you have to be dialed in, and you have to be willing to not trade chances and be focused on that. And, you know, the Leafs did that. I mean, they shut down Leon and Connor. Now, Connor going to have to learn from that. They will. They're smart players. How do I get open? You know, maybe I give the puck off and get it back a little quicker rather than trying to carry it myself up the middle. And because that's worked for them, right? But you figure teams figure out, and you have to readjust to what their adjustment is to you.
We're looking at a battle of Alberta tomorrow. I'm taking it, Tyler. We're looking at a battle of Alberta tomorrow, Struds. I've got to get your take on the Flames firing the coach after last night's win. Like, what are the Oilers walking into tomorrow against a team that just blew up the Senators, yet they've got Daryl Sutter coming back behind the bench? Well, I guess he won't be there. You know what?
Yeah, no. So it's, you know what, I think the very first instinct when the coach is fired is it's uncomfortable for everybody. Because you knew you stood with the previous coach. Whether it was good or bad, you knew you stood. And now the new guy coming in, and Daryl Sutter, he doesn't care about anybody. Like, he's the win. Like, he doesn't care if, you know, he'd bench his own mother if he thought he helped win the game. So he doesn't care. So I think for him, those guys, the biggest thing for them is to have that, you know, just come in and they're going to feel uncomfortable and trying to figure out how they're playing. But the Oilers, they're not at the point where they can worry about what the Flames are feeling or what they're thinking. The Oilers have to figure out their own situation because, you know, they've laid an egg. So I think you can expect a team that's highly motivated and energized. But that's a good thing for the Oilers because you're sitting in the room saying, hey, these guys are going to be ready to go. We should be the same way. So I'm expecting a pretty energetic game out of the Oilers Saturday night. You know, maybe Sam Bennett's running around. Maybe Jujar gets going. Like, I think it's both teams have something to prove to get themselves going.
We saw Dave Tippett today at Oilers practice completely halt things. He lashes out with the F-bombs and he rips his team apart. And you talked about how the Oilers are going to be pissed off, but I want a little bit of a story time from Jason Strudwick. What's the most pissed off you ever remember a coach being at one of your teams in a practice or something like that?
Man. both lots of times. I can remember them being upset. But the one I remember the most, I'll never forget this. So Brian Sutter was our coach in Chicago. And we walked in, there was one group of names and a second group of names. The first group of names was like your top two lines and your top four defensive. Then the other side was like, you know, the bottom six forwards and then the rest of us D-men. And I thought that the bottom group, I thought we played well the night before. I thought the top guys weren't trying. They weren't giving us much effort. So Brian Sutter walks in and he's like, guys, there's going to be two practices today. The group of the guys that are, you know, the top group, let's say he didn't say that, but this group and then that group. So I'm like, good, let's give it to those guys. Like they were freaking brutal. Like they should get it. So they go out for practice first. It's like 20 minutes, barely break a sweat. I'm like, what's going on? Like these guys were shit. Like they didn't do anything for us. Then we go out there and they absolutely destroy us. He bagged us. I was so mad. I would have fought him if I could. I was like, why are you giving it to us? We're playing like 10 minutes a night. Go out, talk to those guys. They're not doing jack shit out there. Those guys are, they paid their $2 to go for a public skate at West Edmonton Mall with their girlfriend with the fur on their skates and wheeling around. I was so mad. So he was mad, but I was mad too. I'll never forget that. I was so mad. And you know, I don't remember turning this around. I think it just pissed everybody off. Like, I get it. You have to protect your top players. But, you know, the guys in the dressing room aren't stupid. You know, like, if I look around and I'm giving everything I got, or like, let's say for the Oilers, let's say you get down Juju Kara's line. I think it's fair to say those guys are meeting what we expect from them. They're playing hard. They're trying hard. But if Dave Tippett today on the ice absolutely shredded that line and didn't say anything to anybody else, like, what are you doing? Like, are you trying to, like, inspire me more? You're just pissing me off. And actually, I reacted well to being the guys challenging me and pissing me off. It worked well. But some guys would just shrink. But I'll never forget that day. God, I was pissed off about that. He was just – next time I see him, I'm going to say, hey, you owe me – I owe you a couple shots to the kidneys, the solar plexus.
Struds last night, obviously, unfortunately, Wayne Gretzky announced the passing of Walter Gretzky after the battle with Parkinson's. I was just wondering, you spent a lot of time around the league, both as a broadcaster and as a player. Did you have any interactions with Walter at all as your time in the show?
You know, I think the Gretzkys, I honestly think that they hate me. You know, I've never met Wayne Gretzky and I've only seen Walter from a distance. So there must be something they don't like about me. Because I've never met him, but I did see Walter in an event and he was like, you know, my dad growing up was an amazing dad and he helped me, you know, in so many different ways, but obviously with hockey. But I always felt Walter was kind of like that dad that everyone just loved. And he was amazing. He would spend so much time talking to, you know, the world and telling what he did with Wayne. And he was so proud of Wayne and all his kids. Right. And I, you know, now as a dad, I try to emulate that, try to be calm. You know, I lose my mind sometimes, like all dads. You know, Walter was such a nice, kind guy and just thoughtful. And I think he's a really good way for other dads and moms who have athletes for kids. Like, any, just doesn't matter what level, but who kids are in sports, to treat their kids like that.
I think that's a great way to say it there, Struddy. Before we let you go here, one more just quickly tomorrow on the Oilers game. You're a resident defense expert. So let's say, hypothetically, tomorrow is a must-win hockey game, and you are Dave Tippett. Who are your six D-men? Who's playing with who? How would you roll them out?
So I put Barry back with Nurse. Those are my two. And then I've got, I'm assuming Willie Lagson's going to play. I don't know if that's accurate or not. I'll put Willie with Larson. And then I'm going to put a Rusty with Barry. Those are my groups. And you know, Caleb Jones is still kind of working, trying to figure out his game. Bouchard, you know, there's a lot to like, but he's not quite there just yet. You know, let's give him some time. I think when I play him, I might play seven defensemen. But I'm that's my group I'm going with. You know, I really like – sorry, it'd be Barron, Rusty on the bottom.
Because yeah. Oh, yeah. He said Barry.
Yeah. I like Barry so much, I'd play him twice.
And I just thought you were going with a hockey nickname there, just adding a
yeah, one no, at the end of yeah, it. Yeah, sorry. No, sorry. I was just thinking, but that'd be my group. That'd be how I'd do it. How is that going to be received across Oilers Nation?
Well, do you like the 7D and less forwards setup, or is that something that you think that they've gone to the well too much on?
As a player, I hated it because I knew I'd be sharing that time. Because usually what happens, right, let's be honest, it's like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6A, 6B. And so someone is rotating, like, And then if you get yourself going, you might play more and the other guy is not playing, or vice versa. So, you know, I don't mind it. I like it actually maybe for a game that like tomorrow night, because then you can get some of the other guys in more often, your forwards. But the problem is that you can, you know, you can't just keep playing the hell out of Drysdale and McDavid. It's a long year and it's a compressed season. So someone else has to step up. You know, those guys, to me, they looked a little bit tired the last three games. And you know, I'm sure people don't want to hear that, and, you know, hard work in Alberta. But that's kind of what I see. Those guys are tired. So you just keep whipping that horse. Eventually, the horse has got nothing left.
Before we let you go, Strads, I just want to ask you about Bouchard. Could you please make some sense for people listening not to freak out about this guy not being in the lineup every night?
No. You know what? I know there's a lot of Bouchard lovers, and I know that there's some people organizations that don't like Bouchard.
That's right. But, Jay, never
Jay,
forget.
Yeah, Jay, I don't know what that guy's problem is. That he's so negative. But I actually have a lot of time for Evan Bouchard. I think he's going to be a really good player. But, you know, very few defensemen come into NHL finished product. Let's go down and look at who I think the best D-man in the NHL is, Victor Hedman. It's taken that guy a long time to get onto the level that we see him today. A long time. And there's times where he played a lot and made mistakes. There's times where he played little. And there's times where he probably didn't play as well. So it's a long development process. And just because a player's not playing right now doesn't mean the organization doesn't like him. You know, Dave Tippett isn't out to screw over Evan Bouchard, or he does not like him for sure. He must not like him. No, he does like him. He wants the guy to keep his confidence and keep moving him up, you know, keep developing him as a player. So you have to take a longer range view of it. It, quite frankly, right now, after, you know, the last few games of Bouchard, he'd probably be in the AHL right now in a normal
season. But he can't.
I know. Right. Yeah. He couldn't, yeah. But he, you know, yeah, in a normal season, he'd be there. Right. But he can't, you're right. He can't now, but he needs to play. Unfortunately, you need him up here, because if you get an injury, you got to send him down. There's a 2-week quarantine. I mean, you know, hell can break loose. So it's a unique season for him. But he's going to be a fine defenseman, people. But can we honestly say he's better than Barry, Bear, or Larson right now? Now, Bear's got to pick his game up. He's a fourth right shot defenseman. So you saw him on the left side. In one period, he was -2. And I would say for sure the first goal was on him. And the second one, he wears half of it. Puljujärvi can wear the other, or not Puljujärvi, Mikko
Koskinen
for missing that one. Yeah. So I think that those are the, you know, like it's not easy to play. You're trying to play the NHL, then you're going to play on the left side. It's almost like saying, okay, well, you're a point guard. You know what? We're going to put you at center tonight. Yeah, don't worry about it. Just rebound. It's not, you've seen it. You've played it before. It's easy, right? It's not that easy. So let it just grow, you know, just to develop. And by this time next year, well, Bouchard will be in the lineup for good. And everyone can say that Dave Tippett doesn't hate him. He actually does like him.
Strutty, man, we appreciate your time. Love having you on these pods.
Yeah, I'll talk to you guys soon.
See ya. There you go. That's Jason Strutty. See ya. Former NHLer Jason Strudwick, his appearance brought to you by Vision VR Hockey. Train your hockey brain to see the plays to make off the ice, or with off ice reps in their virtual reality training system located in St. Albert. Check them out, visionvrhockey.com, to book your session. And of course, Jason Strudwick, just like all of our other guests, whenever there's an interview on the show, it is brought to you by Cornerstone Insurance Brokers, cornerstoneins.ca, Edmonton Zone. And I love this. Scroll down to the bottom of their page. It even says official insurance broker of Oilers Nation. Solid protection, sound advice, Cornerstone Insurance. Strutty, you can leave the Zoom call. It's all good.
He doesn't want to.
He wants to sit in for hot and cold.
He wants to be our third, fourth, and five times guest.
Finally got him out of here. I like that he stuck around for the ad reads. So that's good stuff.
You want to make sure that you got his plug right. I get it. Like, the man's a professional. He does radio on a daily basis. I get it. Interesting to hear him kind of give some takes on just everything from goaltending to execution to defensive pairings and everything in between, you know. I'm really looking forward to having Strads on the podcast more often, just so we can ask him those kind of behind-the-scenes perspective, if you will.
Basically, Strutty's new thing with the Nation is every week you're going to find him somewhere, whether it's on this podcast, Real Life, State of the Nation. He'll be somewhere once a week. He'll be able to get his insight.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm glad I got to ask him that question about the 7D thing, because I've never really heard anybody talk about it. You know, in a flat out sense, you know, the 7D versus the 6D and what that means for defensemen in general.
And like, listen, I know these are NHLers, but I think like we've all kind of played a sport or played hockey in the past where like when you can play an entire game with the same two people on a line or same guy on your pairing, you build up like some chemistry just throughout the game. You get more comfortable as the game goes on. And if you're just always being thrown out with a different player, different points, like you don't get a chance to get a feel for tendencies and things like that. And I know these guys have played with each other, you know, for a year or whatnot, but like, I still think there's something to be said about just rolling out consistent lines. And I'm a fan of the whole mix McDavid and Drysdale in with the fourth line once in a while, but sure, there's also a part of me right now that kind of goes, you know what? Maybe just keep those guys with consistent wingers and let them build some chemistry to get back in the groove.
Well, or I would like to if they're going to play those guys more, wouldn't it be great if they could just kind of roll through the four lines and then every now and then, instead of, and I don't even want to pick on Puljujärvi, so it doesn't make sense, but he's just my example here, I guess, where every now and then maybe Leon pops up and you got the big three out there for a while, because we haven't seen that too much since old Toddy Mack's been gone.
Who's the third of the big three? Nuge?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because you don't even see them like after penalty kills and stuff. Yeah.
It seems to only happen now when we're in panic mode, like we're down three or four goals kind of thing. But one of the things that Strutty said, and I've been saying all along, and I did the calculations at the end of it, was this shortened season and how the schedule is so intense. I just did the calculations. The first 25 games of the season last year, it was 53 days. This year, for the first 25 season or games of the season, it's been 51 days. So it's actually not that crazy of a schedule when you look at it just in that general sense. I know that the shortened season is going to make every game a little bit more important, but I just thought it was funny that we've all been kind of saying that, I think, all along, that the season's crazy and it's truncated and it's really quick. But at the end of the day, it's not really that much different than the regular seasons have been in the past.
It's going to be interesting to see how it goes on, because I know March is a tight schedule, but everybody's in the same boat. Speaking of boats, maybe you can ride one in Jasper. Huh? They've got canoeing and water sports and rafting available. Huh? As we get into the spring, things are going to open up a little bit. Our friends at Tourism Jasper want you to consider a great weekend in the mountains where you can maybe do a little bit of hiking, maybe some climbing, maybe a tour, some sightseeing. Maybe there'll be some wildlife on the road that you can see, Dan. Who doesn't want a picture of a nice mountain goat? Everybody would like to have one of those.
Pull off to the side completely, please.
Yes, and please leave the animals alone while I'm thinking about it.
get right in there with the bears. Try and get a selfie with them.
Yeah, bears love that. Especially if you see a baby cub, then follow it into the bush. That's probably a good idea. Don't do that.
Yeah, mom loves family pictures.
Exactly. Don't do that, by the way. Don't do that. Our friends at Tourism Jasper do not want you to do that. However, they do want you to enjoy maybe something outdoors so you can be safe and socially distance and still enjoy Alberta's beautiful scenery. If you're interested, Tourism Jasper wants you to visit jasper.travel. Again, that is jasper.travel. You got all the details there and all the things that you can do in town. Love Jasper. Can't wait till the next time I go back. Gentlemen, I want to bring up Leon Draisaitl a little bit, just a little bit, because I want to talk about what's going on in the media these days. The other night, the boys lost their third straight to Toronto. They scored one goal in a matter of three games. Nobody was happy. The fans were upset. The players were upset. That triggered an interesting exchange with Rob Chajkowski and Leon Draisaitl on Zoom post-game. Now, first, I want to say, if you follow Rob Chajkowski, you know that he can be funny and sarcastic, and that's probably why you follow him on social media in the first place. The first question he asked, Leon didn't really give a great answer. So Rob followed it up with a fastball down Broadway, and Leon was having none of it and didn't answer, gave a hilarious answer. So before I get your opinions, boys, I want to give my take, where the interesting thing is I get the media angle, why they would want players to give better answers than that, whereas I disagree with it, because the answer Leon gave, which is, no, we're happy we didn't get any points in three games or whatever he said, this is all good shit. Mm-hmm. It's entertainment we're talking about here. Man, did it make me laugh when I saw that clip come out of Leon Draisaitl. As a fan of the team, man, do I love the way this guy answers questions. He's in an arena full of people. He's got a microphone in his face and he says the fans are fucking phenomenal. He gets asked in the summer what it's like to play with Connor McDavid. And he says it's terrible. He drops Nuggie as a nickname for Ryan Nugent Hopkins. And yet we're at a spot where some, not all, some folks are wanting him to get back to giving some of the cliches and boring answers that we've always gotten from pro athletes. This is a sport. This is fun. This is entertainment. And I love when guys show their personalities. I was thinking about it afterwards, seeing how the back and forth between some of the media, again, some, not all, going back and forth with some fans saying it was a dumb question, blah, blah, blah. I get why he asked the question. The big three, McDavid, Draisaitl, Nuge, they got 2 points combined over three games. You got to ask. But when Leon throws back an answer that's insanely salty, you got to love it. Even Chukowski came out and said, you know what? I was a little aggressive with the question, whatever he said, to paraphrase.
He tweeted out, not frustrated by a dismissive answer, to a fair and gentle question, and came back too hard on the follow, my fault.
So he owned it. But what we got was a great exchange, a little piece of personality that can sell the game of hockey way more than if Leon had said, well, you know, we just need to get pucks in deep and we got to blah, 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 work the cycle, blah, blah. The thing that I find interesting is just how the hornet's nest got kicked from this, despite it being great. Think of it a different way. Think if Rob Chukowski had asked the exact same question, the exact same phrasing to Ryan Nugent Hopkins. Nuge would have pulled out one of his many cliches from the bag that he's been carrying since 2011. And, well, except for what he said to Matheson, a couple of weeks ago. Never forget. Never forget. But my point here is when asked about a team type thing like that, a guy like RNH would generally give more of an answer that you expect. So my angle is, embrace the exchange, embrace the personality, embrace all of it. I don't think Rob Chukowski asked a horrible question. I know that he's sarcastic and funny, so his follow-up was exactly what you would expect if you know anything about him. And I also know that he asked the one player on the Edmonton Oilers that is probably going to give you a funny answer. And that's what we got. And I thought it was great. Now, gentlemen, I open the floor. Tyler, I want to start with you because you're in the media. You're also a blogger. You're also a fan of the Oilers, and you don't hide it. What do you think of the back and forth?
Yeah, I kind of step in all three sort of circles here. I think I don't want this to sound like I'm talking from a high horse or something, but it was a lot of overreaction from people who don't know how that stuff works. Like even the Nugent Hopkins thing, and people love like jumping on writers to the questions they ask and whatnot. One, while I'm not going to sit there and be like, it's the most difficult job in the world, it is a tough job to do that. And on Zoom, man, I am happy I don't do those Zoom calls because it can be tough to like illustrate your point and the tone you're trying to make over Zoom. Paul Maurice was on the DFO Rundown, talked about how much he fucking hates these Zoom calls for that exact reason. And these guys aren't strangers anymore. Leon Draisaitl has done hundreds of post-game press conferences now. And you know what he's done in every single one? Answered a question from Rob Tichkowski. You know what Ryan Nugent Hopkins has done for the last decade in this organization? Answered questions from Ryan Nugent Hopkins. They know each other. There's I said Rob Tichkowski.
You said
Nugent answers from Nugent.
Oh, fuck.
He looks at himself in the mirror and he says, you can do better.
Sorry.
He says, whoa.
Nugent answers.
You ready to go?
Questions from Jim Matheson. And, you know, they understand each other a little bit. And the Tichkowski thing, like, yeah, I think both parties were at fault there. Leon Draisaitl's pissed off. He's frustrated. So he gave a, whatever it was, forward answer to Tichkowski's soft opener. If Draisaitl doesn't want a little quip back, you know what he could have said? He could have gone on for 10 seconds instead of going on for 2 seconds. And this is squashed. Tichkowski's got to keep a more level head. He even admitted that. Like, give credit to Titch. Yeah. He stepped out and said, hey, I fucked up. That's on me. And that's also his personality. So I think it was a lot of people blowing this out of proportion, being like, the media's jumping down their throat, blah, blah, blah. The media in this town's unfair. They pick on... No, they fucking don't, man. They're just trying to write a story. They're not, like, trying to single out Leon Draisaitl so that he lays in bed awake at night. Do you think Draisaitl even... He probably found out that was a story and was like, really? That's a story? Because like they don't give a shit, man.
Exactly.
And they do it every day. This isn't something they have to do like once a year. They do it every day and it's the same group of people. Not a big deal.
I love... I'm going to get to Dan here and Rick for their takes on it, but I love that you ask a guy the question. Clearly he's pissed off. Clearly he's pissed off. He gave a great emotional, sarcastic soundbite that we're still talking about a couple of days later. Isn't that a good thing? When we're talking about hockey, pucks in deep, fucking work the cycle, cliche. Fuck it. Dan, what do you think? I loved it. I wish more guys would yell at the media, and I wish more media would yell at the players, because I want more of it.
The only issue I have with it, and Tyler, you're probably not going to like this, is just that everybody else in the – or not. Sorry, I shouldn't say everybody else, because that's not fair. Some people in the media felt it was necessary to defend Rob for asking the question. Rob can defend himself. All these media people, when they ask these questions, Tyler, you're right. They're professionals. They're doing their job, and they can answer for themselves when they have a bad question or they have what they think is a good question. The Matheson example is a perfect example of two guys that were just riffing, and sometimes fans are going to just take the side of the player. There's other times that fans will take the side of the media guy. It's not very often in Edmonton that happens, but sometimes guys will just take the side of their player, and who cares? Like, Rob responded to it, and then that could be the end of it. But then all these other guys... Yeah, but then all these other guys, and the fans were going to riff on Rob for 10 minutes afterwards. Two games later, they're not going to remember it, just like the Jim Matheson thing.
Yeah.
But that's what fanatics are. That's what fans are. We are just passionate about our team, and sometimes it goes the way of the media, and sometimes it goes the way of the player. And I was okay with it until it just turned into this, like, media versus the fans thing. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. You got exactly what you want. We're talking about it. We're excited about the team, and people are backing up Dreisaitl after they lost three bullshit games. They played really poorly in three games.
The only thing I'll say about your first point, Dan, is let's say hypothetically Bagged Milk said something that got him in hot water with a section of the fan base, and he had hundreds of people
going, leaving him to himself. He's on his own.
Really? But like you would be the first one at the Nation to hop on Twitter and say, I've known Bagged Milk for years. He is a great guy. He was not ill intentioned. No, it's the same thing. They're sticking up for their colleague.
They're not attacking. It's not like Tukowski attacked Dreisaitl's character. That's what it turned into, though. That's where the media started to say that he's not giving the good answers.
All the arrows towards Rob, though, were attacks at him, and that's when the media was stepping up. They didn't step
just,
in to like.
I just think that situation sucks.
They stepped Tukowski, in to help Rob with all the idiots who just yell at the media.
But Tukowski handled it perfectly. He handled it perfectly with like three sentences, and then it's over. And then, like
it's
I said,
not over
two games later, nobody
yelling.
Talks about it. Of course
it's
they do.
Not over
but two games later, nobody's talking about it anymore, and they've moved on to the next thing. And Tukowski knows that. That's why he didn't address anything after that, because he doesn't have to. He did.
He doesn't have to say anything, but the other guys sit there and read all this shit. And this is where Yaremchuk's example does come in, that, you know, if Bagged Milk did say something or whatever and then puts out his three sentences, and in which case, if everyone just shut up and let him talk, it'd be all over. But all sorts of idiots are going to keep coming in and keep yelling and bringing stuff up and escalating. Like, you can say that he had a, you can say the things that, you know, I didn't agree with that question. Maybe this, that, or the other thing. Go back and read like the tweets and the things that made these other guys stand up for him. And they're just so over the top, so over the top, so over the top. So when they start coming at Bagged Milk like that, I guarantee you're going to stand up and do the exact same thing that DVD and all these other guys do too. But
I don't know.
In this
city,
everybody hates the media. Everybody hates the media in this city, especially on social media.
Yeah.
The one thing they like to do, even more than cheer for the Oilers and cheer for a victory, is the shit on certain media guys. Because I will too. I'll sit there and say, you know what, I don't agree with this, I don't agree with that, and whatever. But it's just so over the top here. And I go back to Rashog and the stupid the thing with the
Montoya.
Goalie.
Like,
yes. And it goes right back to there. And no one will ever explain that differently. They went after him for no fucking reason. They blew it up, and it's not necessary, but this is where you get the fight back from the other guys. And so I'm fine with the fight back from the other guys. But at the end of the day, you guys, these are two adults having a talk after a game where everyone's pissed off. I guarantee you the next morning, there's no real side effects. Nobody gives a shit. I work in a fairly high, stressful, situation. And back when I was working in dining rooms, you always yelled at the other guys. And trust me, the things we said to each other is way worse than anybody, anything that's going to be said in that media room. And by the end of the night, it was over. It's just in the heat of the moment. And when it's over, it's over. But because we have social media, everybody gets to put their two cents in. And it just grows and expands everything.
Okay.
Everything,
but here's the counter argument. So here's the counterpoint. My take on Leon Draisaitl going down to the AHL comes up all the time. And fair enough. I made a stupid call there. Just like Jay with his
which came up today
Evan
too.
Bouchard, yeah, came up today, Trent Bouchard.
Just like Wanye with his Sam Gagner as the captain.
Flames fan, Jay.
And so that kind of stuff to me is like I said it, Jay said it, Wanye said it. It's gonna come up and that's fine. You can defend yourself about it.
It comes up in jokes and read all the tweets that come at you guys
now. But back then it didn't. But back then it didn't. Initially it was, Jay, you're an idiot for thinking that Bouchard's a joke.
You gotta multiply that by like 100, because as many people that like to interact with us or you guys per se, the Edmonton media gets a billion times more.
Yeah, but the Edmonton media, you know, like I look at a guy like Yaremchuk, and Yaremchuk gets some hate sometimes, but he doesn't need other people to defend his point and defend his question or defend his take. Like I look at all these guys. Same thing with Matheson. Matheson can take it. Matheson's, I don't know. It's just like, to me, it's no different than a player, right? It's if these players are getting criticized and night in, night out by the same writer and they lash out, sometimes the guys in the media will be like, whoa, pump the brakes. That's a little rough, you know, like a Jake Voracek. It's a part of sports. It's no different than the athletes that these guys are writing about. They can take their lumps, they can make their mistakes, and they can own it and move on from it.
Yeah, and I think Tichkowski would have, but I just, like, Dan, you're arguing against someone's colleagues supporting him vocally. Like, that's what the argument against is here. And I don't understand why that's like, if Rashog or whoever just wants to say, hey, you know what? Titch asks a lot of tough questions. He doesn't deserve the hate he's getting. Like, that's okay, sweet.
That's different, but it's like the continuous. It's going to just keep rolling on. If they just let Katowski say his thing and then have all the media guys retweet it or great comment by Tichkowski, you walk away from it. But instead, we're talking about it 2 days later.
Are any of those guys really bringing it up more than their one or two initial defensive
tweets? They were that morning after.
Okay, well, the morning after is still 12 hours after, yeah, fine, 12 hours. The news cycle, you know, is in a 24-hour cycle, so anything that happened that 12 is fine, still relevant. But as long as they're not going to keep it going, they're not going to come up today and, you know, 3 days later, yeah, go, oh, yeah, by the way.
Yeah, that's fair.
But, however, the haters will continue this, and Titch is going to hear this forever.
No, sure. I just don't think so. Like, Matheson outrage. You look at the Spectre outrage.
And Spectre still gets brought up.
Just like Leon Draisaitl's giveaway. Like his giveaway in the second game against the Leafs, we're not bringing that up next week. You know, it's over.
If there's another situation, which case they're, you know, kind of in the same spectrum, it'll be brought up for sure.
We've spent way too much time on this.
I don't know. That's my feeling on it.
Ever cut off people yelling at each other, Tyler. I was just going to sit here and happily let this go on fucking day. How dare
you? Milk, I tell you, I was looking at our reviews and somebody had mentioned that we need more hot takes. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to get spicy again.
Do not ever interrupt a fight on this fucking podcast as long as I'm here.
This is the what's your favorite station you like out there with all the with all your dramatic TV shows? Like 16 and Pregnant or Teen and Pregnancy and all that. I'm guessing there's a couple fights on there you like to revel in.
Yeah. Like when the Oilers lost the third game against the Leafs, first thing I did was flip on some 90 Day Fiance and really soak in the dysfunctional ambience, you know? Well, I got to say, boys, I didn't expect everyone to get as fired up about this. You know, I thought it was funny. I didn't.
Sun's out, man. Springtime. Everyone's feeling it now.
I'm drinking the
blood. The blood's flowing again. It's not frozen anymore.
Well, and that's a good takeaway to take away from it, right? Is that like here we are as a team. The team played like dog poop for three games, and the fans are still just like, no, you don't fucking touch Leon Draisaitl after a game. So I like that kind of fire up. I hope the players do too. And you know, obviously, Tip is still hot under the collar for it, and that's good too.
For the record, if any of you say anything that ever gets you into trouble, I am going to pretend like I don't know any of you.
I did just announce to all of you guys that I would let you guys go. So
So fuck you, Dan. I will I'm changing my what I just said. I will defend Tyler and Rick, but fuck you, Dan. All right. I'm just kidding, Dan. I love you.
No, I know.
Okay. Let's get this thing back on the rails here. Or unless you guys want to yell whatever. Like,
just give us something else to yell about.
I
didn't
think that was off the rails because we were still talking hockey. It's all good. Tyler's, I think he took off his headphones once at one point, but that's
my ears.
The unfortunate thing for us is that we have to wait like a week. We're once a week, right? So if something could have happened last Saturday, if this could happen last Saturday, we probably would have brought it up again today just because this is the first opportunity the five of us have had to talk about it.
But I think our listeners like to hear that stuff too. And Beg Milk's right. You got to hear some yelling every once in a while. It's good for the ratings. And we haven't been in a room together in almost a year now, boys. Like we haven't been together talking to each other.
Well, I missed this earlier in the podcast, Dan. So next time we're in a room together, we'll get skipthedishes.ca to cater the event because we are all hungry boys and we are still growing.
And then you'll yell at each other.
That's right. Or we can't yell at each other because you can't yell at each other when your mouth is full of a 1 pound roast beef and cheddar.
Half pound, but yes.
Well, you know what? We'll
if you put those
two half pounds.
Dude, don't give me plans for a Sunday.
2 half pounders, you mash those babies together all of a sudden, or we find out if any of the Arby's available on Skip the Dishes can get hook us up with a meat mountain that Grant
Millwoods
or that Grant
Millwoods.
We got to go all the way up to the hood.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, well, that's what the hen is.
I drive by there 5 times a week.
Grant Johnson on his social media. I said Grant Thornton, they're my accountants. Grant Johnson. Go check out his social and see what the meat mountain looked like. I'm sure he got it from skipthedishes.ca and nowhere else. Skipthedishes.ca, skipthedishes.ca, skipthedishes.ca. Okay. All right, boys, before we get into hot and cold performers here, I just want to give a real quick look at tomorrow's Battle of Alberta. Oilers have a big week coming up. They got some Flames games. They got some Sens games. Before the next time we talk, do you think that the Oilers will be able to turn around this skid against the Leafs until we talk again next Friday? Or are you kind of in a wait and see mode because this is just so hot and cold from where they were at last time we recorded? Dan, where are you at?
I think tomorrow night, Saturday night, is going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a battle, and I'm excited for that. And then I feel really bad for the Ottawa Senators because I do think that the Oilers are going to unload on them again. And it's going to be the start of another stretch of good hockey from the Oilers. I said it all week during the Leafs game. I just think that this is one of those things that it's going to be a good thing for this team. I think that they're going to learn from some of the lack of effort, the lack of consistency, and I think it's going to fire them up for the rest of the season.
Score prediction, please, sir.
Against the Flames?
Yep.
I'm going to say, I think it's probably going to be a 5-4 in OT.
5-4 in OT for Dan for tomorrow. Nation meme team, by the way, if you were listening to this, I encourage you to make fun of us for all our predictions, whether they come true or not.
I said a sweep of the Leafs. If we remember that last week,
yes.
My prediction skills are gone.
Yes. There was a sweep of the Leafs from Dan. Tyler, same question to you. What are you expecting from the next week from the Oilers? And then finish it off with the score prediction against the Flames.
Yeah, I think we should be expecting them to bounce back here. I think this is a team that, quite frankly, is too good to keep losing, if that makes any sense. They lost to a very good team in Toronto. This week proved to me that Toronto's in a class of their own in this division. But the Oilers team is right there in that next tier. And I think 2-3 games against Ottawa, one next Saturday against Vancouver. You get a big chance tomorrow to rebound against your provincial rivals. I'll predict a 4-2 win for, no, 5-3. Their goal thing won't be that good. A 5-3 win for the Oilers Saturday night against the Flames, and then they will go take 2-3 against the Senators by next time we talk.
Rick, you're up next. Your thoughts on the next week and then the score predictions against the Flames.
I think last week was just a little blip on the radar, a little adversity, never hurt them. They will bounce back from this. They are a far better team than we saw the last three games. So I honestly don't believe Calgary is that good, especially when they're going to be in limbo here without their coach. I can't see them being much different until you get him start running practices and get him behind the bench. I expect us fully to come out tomorrow. And I'm going to go with a nice round 6-2 victory. And I can easily see them keeping the foot on the throat and taking Ottawa for three. And if they can go five in a row by taking Vancouver at the end of this, I don't think anyone will even remember this Toronto problem.
I would love that, buddy. I'll wrap it up. I think that the Oilers are going to have a better week. But the first thing that I'm looking for them to do, step one, is win the first period tomorrow. I think the best thing they can do is just one foot in front of the other. Got a goal. Shutout streak's done. Nuge ended it. Let's win the first period tomorrow. I'm going to go with a 4-2 win over the Flames. I think it's going to be a better week. I don't think it's going to be a perfect week, but I think it'll be a better week.
How about the CBC broadcast bringing up the friggin' stats like mid-game in the second game about shutting out the same team twice in two games in a row? And then before the game even started on Thursday, they were talking about the shutout streak of three games in a row against the same team. So thanks to them for breaking the shutout for us.
Oh, the Leafs have the chance. First time in history that they're going to have a shutout from three straight goalies in three straight games. Unbelievable.
Just check the clock to see
that is a great voice you do, BM.
But that's my announcer voice, Tyler.
Fuck me!
If I ever get a chance to get up there in that press box with you, that's how I'm going to speak all the time. I'll be like, oh, hello there, Jim. Welcome. Welcome to the press box. Okay.
One day.
Time for hot cold performers, my friend. Get your buttons ready. But first, we are going to welcome brand new sponsor for the segment, Deuce Vodka. Deuce Vodka. If you don't know, this is massive Edmonton fan, Brett Kissel's line, Deuce Vodka. We had him on Real Life last summer. He and I did a Tarps Off podcast together. It was very nice. Special moment between us. But now he's got a vodka. And if you go to deucevodka.com/find us, they've got a nice little Liquor Connect link in there where you can find this anywhere. If you're in Saskatchewan, sales@deucevodka.com, you can find out where you can get this product. It's delicious. Made myself a cocktail. It's excellent in Caesars. It's excellent if you just want it with some soda water, maybe a little splash of lime in there. Maybe a splash of Gatorade, Tyler, if you're feeling frisky.
I was thinking...
Go ahead, Dave.
For this Deuce sponsorship, we should try and come up with some kind of a when Jack drops a deuce on the broadcast, as he tends to do when the Oilers are up by two, that we have to do a shot of some sort. We have to try and figure that out. But that was just something that came to mind the other day.
We should also work with Brett Kissel to come up with some kind of nation cocktail with Deuce Vodka.
Oh yeah,
who wouldn't enjoy that?
Brad Stipango just dropped a shot of vodka in a nation beer and chugged it.
that is called Deuce a Vodka man overboard. Yikes!
Yeah, you have a couple of those, and all of a sudden you are laying on the floor.
I love it. It's good.
DeuceVodka.com.
Stipango's a legend.
/find us. Find out where you can get Deuce Vodka. It's delicious. Make yourself a cocktail. Caesar Sunday coming up. Caesar Sunday. All right, boys, as we do every week, we start with our veggies. So we're looking at the cold performers of the last week, brought to you by Deuce Vodka. Rick, I'm going to start with you. You're right under me on the Zoom call. Your Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week.
Well, you know what? It's going to be the entire roster of the Edmonton Oilers. You guys can pick apart anybody you want, but I don't think anybody can really take a check mark out of this. I think everyone has to take a big fat L. So I'm just going to call it out and say everybody on the roster, everybody on the ice, everybody with the skates on, they were all equally the cold performers.
Are you thrilled? I'm not.
Me nor either. Should you be. Mr. Nation Dan, I see you next on my screen. Your Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week.
Well, thanks for leaving some for us, Rick.
The
entire planet is my cold performer of the week. Every single person on it.
I'm going to take my critique off the ice, and I'm going to put it on people that feel the need to just hate on announcers because they don't like them. Like, as if the mute button hasn't existed for 50, 60 years. Just hit mute. You don't have to tweet about it. Nobody has to hear about your preference of announcers over, you know, the analysis in between games and stuff. I like to rib some of the announcers. Like, I think Bieksa's open season for that, for his time with the Oilers or against the Oilers. But for me, it's just people that feel the need to attack these announcers who are doing a job that you couldn't do. And so just leave it alone, hit mute, and don't tweet about it. That's my cold performer of the week. Sorry, Tyler.
Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week.
I don't remember if I did this last week or not. Did I talk about Vegas last week and our trip? No. Yeah, because I couldn't remember exactly when I was getting the memories pop up on my phone, but I keep having those, like, you know, this time last year on this app and all that. And it's all centered around our nation vacation to Vegas. And man, what a fucked year it's been since that point. And my cold performer of the week is just having to look at those memories and just be sad that we can't all be together drinking, watching the Oilers in a warm place right now. That really sucked. So you know what? The memories popping up, reminding me of our grand nation vacation in beautiful Las Vegas. That's going to be my cold performer of the week.
I'm upset.
I feel that on a core level, Tyler, because I too got those memories this past week and I'm upset with Mark Zuckerberg for it. I was thinking about it this morning, actually. The joint podcast we did with ON Real, with Nation Radio and Real Life, and just
we were drinking the tall boys of Bud Lights at like 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah, we were having some Bud Lights real early, and that was already after a shot, which is Nation tradition that Rick brought into the mix. So, yeah, not good. Just to wrap this up, my Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week is gonna be. You know what sucks? And I get it. I don't have a solution for it. So I don't know what you do about it. But when you're watching a game and it's the intermission and you get zero coverage regarding the game you're watching.
Oh.
That happened a bunch of times this week. And I was just like, God, it just sucks. Not only are they playing the Leafs, so every intermission panel, everything they do is about the Leafs anyway. But there was a bunch of times where it was just like, let's talk about literally everything else other than the Oilers.
Or they cut to like Sportsnet Central and you have to watch like highlights of another game. You're like, fuck me, bring me to some analysis. I want to hear about this game I'm watching.
It was just that this week. So it was a frustrating week. I just wanted somebody else to talk about how I was feeling and I got none of it from the panels because they didn't show it. So I guess that's my cold performer of the week.
That's a joke. That's an absolute joke is what it is.
I agree. It is a joke. Flipping the ledger, I'm going to start with Tyler. Your Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week.
My hot performer of the week, I am going to go last night at 10 o'clock Mountain Time. I fired up my Spotify. I know I'm taking yours, VM, but I got to listen to three new Drake tracks. And anyone who knows me knows that I love some Drizzy. So Drake, thank you for the new music heading into the weekend. They are absolute bangers. Can't wait for the album to drop. Drake and his new music. That is my hot performer of the week. It's Faya.
Specifically, what's next? First song.
Holy fuck.
That ridiculous.
That could be available. A top 10 Drake track for me. It's unreal.
Available on iTunes.
Rick has to wait for payday so he can pay $3.90 for the songs.
It'd be like $1.99.
Rick's gonna fire up LimeWire and download those as soon as he gets a chance. Mr. Nation Dan, your Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week.
Well, this one's gonna be, it's gonna sound like a shameless plug, but I absolutely am 100% behind it. Well, that was a good way to say percent. I run hockeyfights.com for some people who don't know that. And
he's also
this
been
week
in Halifax.
I've also lived in Halifax. But we introduced a new podcast this week called Dropping the Gloves with John Scott. And man, is that a good podcast? Yes. I highly recommend it to anybody that likes fights, but also you're gonna be introduced to a guy. I just had a talk with him with Tyler this week in John Scott that is one of the funniest and like the smartest hockey guys out there. The episode that just dropped this morning, George the Rock and John Scott, was must listen to podcast audio. It is good stuff. Those guys talking to each other, John talking about the NHL in general. I think for a lot of people, they don't understand how smart John is. John went and got his mechanical engineering degree in 2010. Really smart guy. And it's going to be one of those podcasts that I think you're going to want to be on board with early on here. So dropping the gloves, my hot performer of the week.
Hey, since it's hockey fights, dropping the gloves, Battle of Alberta tomorrow, instead of playing a sound, I'm going to play this.
Have a goalie fight. Bear throws a right hand. Here comes Cam Talbot and Mike Smith. They're going to go at center ice. Talbot Shore with a right hand. Smith, three clubbing right hands. Right hand Talbot. Big right-handed shot from Mike Smith. This is the Battle of Alberta we've been waiting for three decades.
Anybody who can't get behind Jack Michael's calls of those kind of things, or even the game in general, I don't know what to do for you. I don't know what to do for you. Even what my favorite thing about Jack right now, and I'm going to pump his tires here. First of all, I love the way he calls games. Mm-hmm. I love the energy he puts in it. I love the descriptive language he uses when he's describing a play. It's very flowery to me. I like the way he talks about the play. But the thing that makes me laugh all the time, and he used to always do it on the radio, but now he does it on TV, is he goes, "The Oilers!" as he goes into a commercial break, and it makes me laugh every time.
It's so random, and it's so good, and it just reminds you that you're watching a team that you love and you should be excited about. And, like, it can be in a 3-0 lead for the Oilers, and he's just like, "Down the stretch! The Oilers!" And it's just, it's so good, and he leads you into a commercial with that. You're like, I don't know if I can recover from this. It's so good.
I think we put it together with a little bit of Hall of Famer there, Rod Phillips, because that man could sell something. That's what we grew up on. We were so spoiled getting to listen to him. And then to have a 2.0 or a junior version of him come along in Jack and really have a lot of the same traits that kind of remind us of that, I think that's pretty cool for us.
You know what, Tyler? I got nothing for hot and cold performers, so I'm just going to say Deuce Vodka Hot Performer of the Week. Jack Michaels, shout out to you.
Love it. I didn't.
I was so uncomfortable. I didn't. I don't know.
No. You know what, Jack? I look forward to your calls. Always do. The Oilers Radio Network. Okay.
On Oilers Nation Radio. You didn't pay him to do that for us.
Oh, next, we need to get him back on the podcast just so we can go, "The Oilers Radio." So, whoa, fucking hell. Okay.
On the Oilers Radio podcast.
I tweeted
podcast
about it, how it made me laugh going into commercial the other night. And Jack DM'd me on Twitter. He's just like, "Just making sure you're on your toes, buddy. Just making sure you're on your toes." And I love it. Jack Michaels, I appreciate your call. Okay. Real quick, just to wrap this up, because we are winding down around the horn. One word answer. Surprised that the dry line got one game and done. Tyler?
Yes, it's embarrassing. Give him a good run.
Dan.
Expected.
Rick.
Is it official they're not playing together tomorrow?
They weren't
official,
together
but
at
it
practice.
Looks like by practice.
Have we not gone through many times where 2 days before practice they've had a line together, then the day before or the day of the game, it's been different?
Being an Oilers fan is a trip, is what you're saying here.
Yeah, I don't worry too much about it. I want victories. I don't care who's playing with who. Let's put out the best possible lineup and let's just get some wins.
Speaking of the lineups, Tyler, do you have any info on, look, where's that Cassian at? How much longer is he at?
He's not allowed to return from IR until he sells 200 more cameos. Oh, that's why he's grinding so hard. That's the clause.
He should be here by the end of the weekend then, because he's posting 5-star reviews all over the place. So
I have no clue what's wrong with him. I don't know when he's coming back.
It's got to be a hand though, right?
Yeah,
hand wrist somewhere. He fought from elbow down.
It was when he fought Gudbranson.
Yeah,
and he very clearly was nursing, like looking at his knuckle right after as he was getting up.
And he only got, I think, he got one shift afterwards. If we go back to we were playing the Blackhawks a bunch of years ago, and Nuge ended up, I think, breaking his knuckle too. He blocked a shot with his hand or a pass or whatever, and he was out like 6 weeks. So I don't think I see Cass going back till end of this month.
What a fucking answer from Tyler, by the way. I ask him, like, he's got to send 200 more cameos. So head on over there. Maybe we can pay Zach Cassian some money and he can tell us what's going on. I don't know.
Oh, there you go,
Dan. Scott also on cameo.
Dan, send that in for a cameo request. I'll ask him to come out and explain his injury and when he'll be coming back.
Could you imagine?
We'll pay you $80 or whatever it is.
Guys, I don't think he's accepting cameos that aren't just, can you run your script for us, please, for the next like 2 months? Because he ain't doing it. It ain't happening. I tried Chris Pronger. I tried that goalie from Raycroft from Boston. They won't answer me.
One day, Dan.
One day.
Maybe we'll just have to pivot to Riff Raff. If they won't give us NHL takes, Riff Raff will. I know he will. He's a good man like that. Okay, let's wrap this up. Tyler is looking like he has stopped caring about what we're doing.
So his beer is empty. He's looking for his next one.
Yep.
It is empty.
Which I respect, see? Tyler. 2 p.m. on a Friday? Good for you.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a stressful week to be Tyler Yaremchuk, so I had to crack a beer while we recorded this.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong
with
that.
It's a beer-drinking kind of podcast.
Yep.
How do you get on Cameo, Tyler?
Pardon?
Why don't you get on Cameo?
I don't think there's and I'm saying this like seriously.
$2.99.
I don't think there's anyone in the world who would ever pay for a cameo from me.
Get
on.
Surveyor,
no reason.
Surveyor, bro.
Yeah,
surveyor,
bro. Yeah, sure.
You get at least one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it has to be shirtless.
Oh, always. Otherwise, what are we doing?
Is that Cameo or OnlyFans?
Yeah. Good Lord. All right.
Wrap
I want
it
to
up.
Thank our friends at Sherwood Ford the Giant, Skip the Dishes, Tourism Jasper.
And also our friends at Cornerstone Insurance and Vision VR Hockey for letting us have Jason Stradwick on the show today.
I wasn't even done reading. And Deuce Vodka for Hot and Cold Performers. Spicy episode today, boys. You were fired up. I like it. I like when you're excited. I get excited. And I just like when you yell at each other. So, Dan, thank you for being passionate. This is Oilers Nation Radio, episode 127. I'm looking. We got a couple of reviews. I'm going to save them for next week. But please leave us your reviews. Let us know how you're doing. Or I will recommend maybe you do what somebody did on Real Life a couple of weeks ago. Give a take on the team. That person said he hates Chase on the power play. If you want to give a take on the team, leave that as a review. I'll read that. I'll read that every single time. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your cousins, tell your aunties and uncles. Oilers Nation Radio is the best damned hockey podcast you could ever find and the second best hockey podcast you can find in India. And that's really all you need to know. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to all of you for being here. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the Battle of Alberta moment. Go Oilers.
Shout out Damien.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media to stay up to date and never miss a podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.